Welcome to Highly Questionable. Bomani Jones and I are doing it old school. That means Poppy's around the corner here somewhere. We'll get to him in a second. Let's get started.
Did Kevin Cash blow it by pulling Blake Snell too early?
All right, so this is a simplified version. The Rays are an extraordinary example of how you build your team smart and with coupons. They have played this way all season. They get to the game where they get to the Dodgers. The Dodgers are run by the guy who made them what they are, and he has money. He's Moneyball, but they have only cash. They counter with cash, and he says, Snell, out of here. Any time in human history, Bomani, that you and I have been watching baseball and long before us, that pitcher gets to keep pitching. But the math, the computer says when he goes through the second time of a lineup, the third time, the fourth time, he becomes an ordinary pitcher. He was not ordinary last night, and they go to a reliever. And I think this is the fairer question. Why that reliever? Why bring in a guy who hasn't been very good this postseason? They've been doing it that way all season. Is it fair to criticize them for doing it in that spot? They had their ace. He was humming. I would have liked to have seen him keep pitching. I think all of us would, except for the Dodgers.
Yeah, like to me in this particular case, it's less about the idea of taking Snell out than the application to take Snell out and bring in, what's his name, Anderson, into the game. What was it, six straight games that he had given up a run, and this is the guy that you bring in with your season on the line? That seems to be a bit odd. But, dude, this is the thing about it with the dorks taking over. The dorks don't appreciate hero narrative. They do not appreciate the idea of a pitcher as great as Blake Snell has been being able to dial something up on this one day. And I don't blame them for it, right? Because it isn't really the most logical thing in the world. But everything that we know and that we've grown up with on the baseball postseason is all about that hero stuff. It's about dudes coming back on 3 days rest, maybe 2 days rest, coming back the night after they pitch to try to hold it down for game seven. Like, that's what we think of in the baseball playoffs. And we look at a starting pitcher in particular, the one guy that we think of on a baseball team as you can carry your team. The Rays don't think like that. Like, they're not subscribing to that sort of thing. And so what winds up happening is, in a time where as fans, you want to see that guy just stay out there as long as he can, the Rays are looking at it like, this isn't going to go well, so why would we wait until it doesn't go well to take him out of the game? They just put somebody in who, well, it isn't going well with him from the second he walks out on the mound.
Let me ask you this question, Bomani, because you've got a couple of degrees in economics. It seemed like people were rooting against the computers. They're rooting against the math. What is the nature of our discomfort that makes us dislike the people who are doing it by the mathematical, scientific, the book, and they're losing to the humans? The human side was Clayton Kershaw. The human side turned the Dodgers into something that was being rooted for, even though this team represents the model on efficient value and how you do it the smart way.
Yeah, because people aren't good at math. And let's be honest about this, too. The smart guys have not made baseball more entertaining. It hasn't made baseball more fun. Like, you can be more efficient all you want, but I think, A, people don't like math, and the people that don't like math and aren't good at math have a tendency to resent the people who are, on top of the fact that, as usual, math is making things more boring.
How about this, Bomani? Because it's not just with the pitching changes. It's not just necessitating rules where you're only allowed to bring a pitcher in and now he has to face three guys. It's all these shifts that all of us hate, that the baseball that goes up the middle off a bat used to be a hit and now it's never a hit because they're playing percentages, and it's the home runs and the strikeout. The math has corrupted. I don't know how much more boring it evolved from this now that the smart guys have taken over and basically contaminated everything that passes for entertainment and fun.
Yeah, let me ask you this question about the shift. If they were doing the shift in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, like you saw some, like it's the Ted Williams shift, right? But if that was happening across the board, would baseball have gotten to be as popular as it was if that happened? Because I don't think I'd want to watch those games.
Well, how many random great moments? Edgar Renteria's game seven hit up the middle is now a ground ball to your second baseman.
We got to come up with whole new names for these dudes. Also, like the shortstop. Stop between what? You don't be stopping. Yeah. You're going all over the place.
Yes. Yeah. Center field stop. He's the stop before center field. We could crunch numbers and do nuance, but my father here has been calling Clayton Kershaw a choker for a long time, coughing on the air in the way that's uncomfortable and cruel. My father had to eat some words here, no?
I would like to take this time to congratulate Clayton Kershaw. Congratulations that it was in a game seven, Clayton. Because if there was a game seven, you would have got a little tickle in back of your throat.
Yeah, here we go.
Game in the sixth inning of game seven.
I I don't like that. I don't like that joke anymore. And it's disturbing during these times to see an old man coughing without a mask.
That's a different kind of cough. Like, that one's okay. You got to know the difference.
How should the Dodgers and MLB feel about Justin Turner returning to the field to celebrate?
Okay, we almost wound up with a situation where if Buzz Selig was still commissioner, he might have considered calling the World Series a tie. In the eighth inning, Justin Turner was told, you have COVID-19. You have tested positive. They pulled him out of the game. The Dodgers wind up winning the World Series. Good for you. Justin Turner, once-in-a-lifetime situation. I want to go celebrate with my team. And they actually let him do it. Like, we know the dude has it. He comes out here, and it's totally understandable why he would want to be out there, but it's just as indefensible as it is understandable. And the part that blows me away is everybody apparently agreed he shouldn't be out there with them. Even if he just went for the picture and came back, he shouldn't be doing that. But nobody had the heart to actually apply, no, you can't go out there. Like, it was basically agreed upon, well, he kind of deserves it. And it is unfortunate in these times, regardless of how much you feel like you deserve these things, some things you just can't do. And as much as I get where they're coming from about the World Series, I have to be that guy who says, I got a homeboy who can't go to his grandmama's funeral because it's unsafe. And I'm supposed to be worried about Justin Turner because they won the World Series?
It's interesting in terms of power structure, right? Because Turner doesn't have a whole lot of public respect for Manfred. You know that if anyone from Major League Baseball is trying to stop a Major League Baseball team that just celebrated its championship from celebrating, I could see where a security guard or a PR guy or some executive doesn't want to get in the way of that or can't get in the way of that, because what are you going to do? We've seen all over our country what ends up happening when people can't agree on this stuff, because your choice would have been to tackle him or do something that would have prevented him from getting on the field. I ask you this question, though, Bomani, because this is the part I find more interesting, even as Major League Baseball has a ton of questions to answer for today. Why is this result coming in the eighth inning? What would you have done if the apocalypse had arrived right before the marathon had ended and you had to do something about Game 7 with these two teams tied at 3? They were a couple of innings from that disaster scenario. But, Bomani, to me, the thing that's most interesting and symbolic is they averted a crisis here, and it would have been fine by Manfred if you had told him before this thing started, hey, we're going to get to the end, but you're going to get a PR hit on the way out the door, but we are going to get to the conclusion of this, and you're going to get all your television money. My guess is Manfred would have taken whatever the 2 days of screaming is on this.
There's one other question that we didn't get around to, which is, y'all are in a bubble. How exactly did this dude catch it?
Yeah, how?
I am curious about that one, because we had this thing earlier this year where baseball came down hard within teams and outside of them for people engaging in reckless behavior that wound up causing infections. I am curious, and I think everyone else has to be. How did he catch it in the bubble?
Do you know how fortunate baseball is to actually get to the end of this when you consider that today's news tells us that the Big Ten, which had zero margin for error on this, they had to be perfect, already has an outbreak in Wisconsin that is making them cancel a game because no one can get control of this. The Big Ten just started playing. Baseball got to the end of this, but man, wheezing at the finish, because they were two innings or a couple of runs from having a problem on their hand that would have had us making fun of baseball management and leadership in a way that would have echoed.
How nervous should the Jets be that Trevor Lawrence might actually go back to Clemson next year?
I mean, they should be scared, right? Because it appears that this is the most purposeful and obvious tank job that we have in the entire sport, a sport that includes a team like the Jacksonville Jags that traded everyone this offseason. I'm more interested, actually, Bomani, in all of the lack of freedom in the structure of the salary cap, because that's what they need to do to take care of their business, fixing costs on quarterbacks that are coming into the draft, and the draft itself, which is inherently a silly thing, but also helps them keep order in that sport. I wish Trevor Lawrence would take all of this power that he has, this real power that he has, even with those constrictions, and applied it with his freedom to actually getting wherever it is that he wants to get, however it is that he wants to get there. He has that power. I hope that he uses it. The Jets obviously don't.
Yeah, but let's get this straight, man. He ain't going back to Clemson. Now, I admit, I don't know so much about Trevor Lawrence. I only really know what I've seen from him on the football field, but nothing that I've seen indicates that he is the dumbest person on earth, because only the dumbest person on earth would go back to Clemson under the circumstances that he's under. Now, you make this argument about the Jets, as other people have, that maybe he doesn't want to go to the Jets, but he pull a Eli Manning. He's not Eli Manning, though. He's John Elway. And yes, he will pull the John Elway if it comes down to it. If the right agent gets him and is like, nah, dog, we ain't going there. And I'm here for it. Like, they decide where you're going to go. You get to decide whether or not you actually want to do it. It's a fair deal. If you are okay with the idea of a draft, then you're okay with somebody being like, nah, I'd rather not play than do that. And that's what I think is ultimately going to happen. But if Dabo Swinney were to allow him to come back to school, that would be malpractice. Dean Smith went and told Michael Jordan, you're not coming back to school. If you can tell that to Michael Jordan, then somebody can tell that to Trevor Lawrence, especially when you got another quarterback coming, the big Polynesian dude from California. Forgive me, I can't remember how to say his name. Clemson don't need Trevor Lawrence like that, and Trevor Lawrence sure as hell don't need Clemson.
Bomani, Dabo's good at keeping them in school, though. There are a lot of guys on that roster, and there have been a lot of guys over the last couple of years at Clemson who look like they can be pros and end up coming back. They still got – how long has Etienne been in college? How long has he been at Clemson? Yeah. He's been there about a decade.
I'm just here to tell you, that young man that they got as backup quarterback this year, he didn't come there because he thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be there for 2 years.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Ring, ring.
Oh, really? Ring. There's a phone right behind him.
Oh, Fred? Fred Hollinger. It's Fred Hollinger. It's Fred Hollinger. Yeah, what's going on, Fred?
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if this father or this son learned a more valuable lesson?
All right, now, an interesting difference between me and my buddy Dan that some of you might find to be surprising is that I love children. I like to make them smile and pick them up and hug them and all those kinds of things like that. And Dan likes to antagonize children. I'm not that tight. Keep that in mind as you watch our reactions to this video.
Let me see. Do it again.
No. Look at that.
Oh, wow. That is good antagonization right there. Quality antagonization. It might be a goaltend. That might have been a foul.
Yeah, see? I mean, like the spirit on this kid, though. Then he dunked on him.
What is that? That is not push-up form. That is, what is that?
They are not. They are not.
That was, those were not push-ups.
You can't be wearing shirts that tight and your son had bad push-up form.
Oh,
there we go.
Yes.
That's, he had to make space.
Yes. That is a good move, my little fella right there. That's exactly how you take down dad. Bomani, yes, that right there is two things we've always enjoyed on this show. First, well, I shouldn't say we. The junk shots are a personal favorite of mine, but also we love asking the athletes, when was the time that dad stopped playing with you because you started beating him? That kid got a young start on beating up Poppy.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm not big on these junk shots, but the more and more I watch this video, the more I realize why that man was doing that. What do you think the end seam is on them jeans? 28? You think it's maybe a 30? You know what I'm saying? Like, that dude has never blocked a shot in his life. He's never had the joy. And so now he's got this kid there, and he wants to live out his dreams on the kid, which made me okay with the little homie clearing out space. And you know that dude must be tripping, because I personally would like to think that my queen would not put this on the internet to embarrass me, right? Somebody made the decision to publish that, and that's what lets me know that dude been antagonizing a little man for far too long.
And that is exactly what little homie was doing.
Yeah, man. He's just like, yo, I got, like, sometimes you do have to clear out space. I've never had to clear out space like that. But I remember, I take great joy in remembering this one time I got so tired of this dude that I gave him that up fake and then put that shoulder right there under his chin. I wanted to make him bite his tongue.
That shoulder, yeah. The shoulder wouldn't have done that little guy, little homie, any good there. He needed to go with what he went with. Somebody's feeling left out, Bomani. Generally, when there are junk shots, this is something that I have shared with my father over the years on television and off. It is a family tradition passed down over the years. Our family enjoying the junk shots. What does my father have to say?
Ring, ring, ring.
Oh, really?
Ring.
There's a phone right behind him.
Oh, Fred? Fred Hollinger. It's Fred Hollinger. It's Fred Hollinger. Yeah, what's going on, Fred? Why? That was an offensive foul. That kid traveled. That kid traveled, eh? You sure?
He did travel.
Hey, Fred,
he
maybe did you travel. Worry more about that Nebraska, coaching Nebraska. You know what I mean? Take care, Fred. Have a good day.
What kind of phone is that? What is that? What is it? That wasn't a banana.
And it's funny, he's talking about the travel and not the obvious flagrant two.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Streaming online, the 21st in Prime podcast.
All right, so Deion Sanders caught up to talk to Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson, who has fewer rushing touchdowns in the NFL than Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over to shock people who haven't heard it before. Let's check in with what Deion is saying and what Bo Jackson are saying about how Bo would look in today's NFL.
When the last time you watched a baseball game and saw a baseball game to where everybody's doing the basics? When was the last time you saw a hit and run?
Right.
Everybody's swinging for the fence now. You either hit it out the park or strike out.
That's right.
Either hit it out the park or strike out. Nobody practiced base stealing. Nobody practiced hitting runs. Nobody practiced hitting the cutoff man and so forth and so on. And in football, I'll say the same thing. Nobody wrap up and tackle no more. And I'm like, if I played during this era, I'd be averaging 350, 400 yards a game.
And you would.
That's right.
I would be average. Because nobody wraps up anymore.
Oh, Bomani, our heroes are old. Our heroes are so old. Yes.
that was my thought as I heard him say that, because Bo Jackson is famously unimpressed by himself and famously doesn't care too much about what we think. But he has had a couple too many kids not know who he was, and now he's at the point where he needs to remind us. And I gotta say, I'm inclined to believe him. Whatever Bo Jackson says that he could do, I think he could do. Could he run for 400 yards? I'll say so.
On ESPN Plus, Detail with Peyton Manning.
I like these breakdowns when people that know more about football than I do, and they are legion, explain football to me in a way that allows me to learn. Pro Football Focus, Bomani, does a very good job of separating the measurements so that you can know what a quarterback is doing without worrying about his teammates. And nobody in the sport has more big-time throws this year than Tom Brady. He's got 24, what they call big-time throws, these dimes. Let's see what Peyton Manning has to say about Tom Brady to Gronk.
Play a little game here. Do you think Tom was throwing to Gronk? Do you think he was, okay? Troy Aikman thought it was one of the best throws he made all game. I'm not so sure. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say he's coming out here to Evans, right? He wants to throw the hitch to Evans. He knows these corners are squatting. He's like, I am not going to throw a pick six on a hitch route, right? So I'm kind of unsure. Okay, Evans, if you don't get the hitch route, he's going to turn up and scramble on kind of the go route. I'm going to throw kind of a high ball to Evans that's going to be Evans' ball or nobody else's. Oh, but guess who runs right underneath it is Gronk. Now, will we get Tom to admit who he was throwing to? I don't think so. He wouldn't admit that he didn't know it was fourth down. There's no way he's going to admit that he wasn't going to Gronk.
I wish they would admit this, Bomani. That is great, because there are any number of times during a game that I actually wonder, was that quarterback throwing to that guy? I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, I have not watched this show, but I feel like this particular episode, if nothing else, should not be called Detail. It should be called Yeah, But with Peyton Manning, because I feel like there's going to be a whole lot of plays and the little bitty hater that resides inside him is going to look at him and be like, yeah, but.
Yes. Thank you for watching. We're all done here. If you want more Bomani Jones, and why would you not? The Right Time with Bomani Jones is the podcast. Go find it.
Oh, man. Our heroes are old, and I know the moment that Bo Jackson got old and reached the point where he had to start reminding people who he was, and it's when Adam LaRoche's kid, the one that basically made his dad retire because he wouldn't hang out no more, look at him disrespecting the greats.
I play with Kansas City, the Chicago White Sox, and the California Angels. And I play with the Raiders. Yeah. You ever heard of the Heisman Trophy? That's the best college football player in the country. I won that. I'm the only player to make it to the Pro Bowl in football and the All-Star game in baseball. And I'm the MVP of the All-Star game.
That's pretty awesome.
So I've been there.